This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempseed. I'm so glad you're joining us today. On today's show, we're going to be looking at burnout. We've got Savannah Ornsby joining us today, and she has personal experience of burnout. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Great. So first of all, you're going to tell us your story in a moment, but can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing at the moment, please?
Sure. So I do work full-time at Udder as the Sport and Recreation Centre Manager. However, I've also started a business on the side where I help overworked and overwhelmed women beat burnout and get their time, energy and balance back so they can basically feel their best and live the life that they love.
So basically in New Zealand you're going to have about 5 million or 2.5 million clients, is that right?
Hopefully.
Pretty much it sounds like you just described every woman in New Zealand.
Perfect, big niche.
Yeah. So you have personal experience of burnout. Can you tell us maybe what were some of the warning signs and how did this start off?
Yeah, sure. So looking back, I guess, I didn't see a lot of the warning signs at the time. I guess I just thought that I was quite motivated and kind of enjoyed being the best at everything I did, whether that be sport or academic as well. So that's from quite a young age, I guess. I've always been a bit like that and had very high expectations of myself. So this kind of meant that at school I was the person who did everything, basically. So I played all the sports, did all the volunteering, but also was really focused on my grades as well. And I guess at the time that worked really well in my favour, so I did kind of get the top of my class in all my subjects, and I did get athletics champion, and I really enjoyed helping out with athletics and captaining the rugby team and things like that, and doing a lot outside of school, extracurricularly. And also, though, I've always been a hard worker. So outside of school, I would do babysitting regularly. I would tutor. I would also pick up horse poo in the mornings. And in the evenings, I was a waitress as well. So I guess for me, I've always, quite from a young age, kept myself very busy and also kind of strived to be the best at everything that I did do.
Wow. So my first question is, do you have some sort of magical device that allows you to fit more than 24 hours into a day?
I honestly, looking back, I can't even think how I had the time, because actually what I didn't mention is I was a really social person as well. So I did go to all the parties as well, and yeah, looking back, I have no idea how I fitted all of that in.
Yeah, and we celebrate people that do this. You know, we tend to hold people up that achieve really well and are involved in a lot of things. But it didn't end so well for you, did it?
Yeah, so I guess that's a key thing about why I'm doing what I'm doing now, is because you're very right in saying that. We do often think that that is success and we are celebrated for all of that. You know, I did get, you know, all the prizes at school, that kind of thing, and that did motivate me. I now have quite a different view. I'm still very internally motivated, but I don't kind of focus on, I guess, the outcomes as much. And also, what I would like to point out is, looking back, you can see so much more. So looking back, I can see that the pattern kind of started and I was kind of wanting to prove my worth through doing these things. So I can realise now there was a bit of an emotional gap that I was wanting to fill by doing all of these things, which was quite unconscious to me at the time. I wasn't thinking, oh, I need to impress people by doing these things or impress myself. But looking back, I can definitely see that for sure. as well as that, I was a people pleaser, as much as I don't like to think about that now, but I didn't like letting people down, so I would often stretch myself way too thin for other people, as well as that, which was another pressure in itself, trying to do and be everything for everyone and not often doing a lot for myself.
Right. We might come back to a couple of those things in a minute, but first of all, so you developed burnout. So can you tell us what that was like for you, please?
Sure. So this was a bit later on after school. So after I kind of left school and went into tertiary study, I was studying physical activity health promotion. So I learnt a lot about well-being, surprisingly not about stress though. So even while I was in that field, I didn't know a lot about burnout or kind of the risks of that. But basically, it kind of all came and hit me like a ton of bricks. My health reached a tipping point, and kind of very quickly I went from being able to having so much energy, what I thought was natural energy, to not having energy at all, like not being able to get up in the mornings because of pure exhaustion. So sleep actually wouldn't help rejuvenate me. I'd wake up just as tired, if not more tired, than when I went to bed. So that was a huge symptom for me. Brain fog, another one. So really had a lot of trouble focusing, focusing on my work, that kind of thing. But those two things in themselves kind of led to, I guess, issues, mental health issues, because I went from being someone who could do it all and run around and have all this energy and do everything that I wanted to, not being able to do those things, having to skip work because I couldn't physically get out of bed. Also, immune system went down, so I got sick a lot as well, which also had that kind of roll-on effect into the rest of my life. Basically, it took over everything. Yeah.
And before you said that you often tied your self-worth into what you were doing, so when you weren't able to do some of these things, what impact did that have on your self-worth?
My self-worth really took an extra knock during that time. Of course, because a lot of my self-worth was wrapped up in being able to do all of these things and doing well. So I kind of did lose that ability for a while, and it really got to me. Yeah, like mentally it was just like I did have a really, really low mood because of that. I kind of lost a little bit of my self-identity, and also I was really frustrated that I couldn't do those things. So I felt quite empty.
So you were in your early 20s, and these are things that we expect every person in their early 20s to be able to do very easily.
Yes, exactly. And that was another challenge, is I've always eaten really well, and I've always been physically fit. And so, you know, this is why I thought, you know, I didn't really have anything to worry about in terms of my health, but, you know, it just came really quickly. But because I was healthy, I ate healthy, I was a healthy weight, I exercised, all of this. I was, in fact, you know, studying health promotion. A lot of people kind of expected me, and because of my age, expected me to be full of health. And because I didn't have something like a physical, like a broken leg or something really obvious to people, people didn't quite grasp what was called adrenal fatigue, which I call burnout. It's more common name for it, is that people didn't really understand it, and they just said, oh yeah, I get tired too, you know? They kind of thought, oh, she's just really tired at the moment, but actually that's not the case. It's actually a medical kind of physiological condition. Yeah. So that did bring a lot of, that was really difficult with people not understanding.
And I think there's what we could call normal tiredness, where people maybe have a couple of easy days, a couple of good nights' sleep, they feel better.
Yeah.
But that often doesn't happen with burnout.
No, not at all. Yeah, you wake up and you feel like you haven't had any sleep. Yeah, exactly. It's very different.
And how long did it take you to realise that actually there's something not quite right here?
I pretty quickly realised, because as I say, it was every day, so there was no kind of gap. There were no days where I did have energy. It was just really flat, and my emotional mental health really took a knock, so I had to quickly get on top of that. Otherwise, I was just really downward spiraling. So I fairly quickly realized there's something really wrong with me here, so I need to seek help about that.
And how did you find that help, or how did you know where to go to?
A friend of mine was working with a naturopath, and I'm quite into natural health options. So she really recommended her. So I went and saw this naturopath, and basically went through quite a comprehensive analysis of where I was at, and she really helped. Yeah, she diagnosed it and helped me kind of develop a treatment plan, and in terms of having the herbs that I needed, and just giving me some dietary advice specific to that condition. So that was kind of the first step in terms of the more physical changes that I made to manage and heal that condition.
And what were some of the other things that you talked about, you know, taking on too much, being a people pleaser, not being able to say no? I take it there were some of these things that you also had to change as well?
Absolutely. And that was the game change. And that's probably where the bulk of the change, or the most effective things, though the herbs, I really needed those because my body was clearly in need of some rapid healing. The things like that, learning to say no, and not putting so much pressure on myself, perfectionism, things like that, all of those things made a huge difference to me. And so I learned a lot of those things through kind of personal growth, self-development, podcasts, and reading books and things like that. But
and so a lot of people think being able to say no is something that's really quite simple, but do you know why you found it so difficult?
Oh, that's a tricky question. I guess it's different for everyone, but I guess I didn't want it to reflect badly on me. So there were a few things, yeah, like saying no, and, for example, being late to things. I think deep down I was kind of afraid of letting people down, and that to reflect badly on me, and kind of just had that expectation that I would put everyone else before myself. And when I really started doing this work, I learned a lot more about self-care and self-love. And now through that journey, I'm so much better at saying no and actually thinking about my own needs, which I've learned is not selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you burn out, you're no use to anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And since you've started talking to people about this, have you found how common is burnout in some of these symptoms?
Yeah, I definitely think it is really common. And just the experience of high stress, taking it back a step, the experience of high stress, so many people. And what I have realised out of this is that stress is not talked about enough. And that's why kind of we aren't really well equipped to deal with it or avoid unreasonable stress. You know, we often talk about nutrition and physical activity and all of these things, but actually stress has a huge effect on our health. You know, it's a contributor to so many diseases, so it really does need to be talked about more. And after my experiences, definitely I'm more aware of it when people are talking about their experiences. Now I can really share my knowledge and empower them to make some positive changes in their lives to minimize stress and hence avoid burnout. But I do think that burnout is, I think, short periods of burnout, and some people, there is a difference. There's kind of maybe during exam season when you do a lot of study and you're doing a lot of late nights, things like that. After exams, you might burn out because you're just putting so much pressure on yourself. But then maybe a couple of weeks later, you're okay. But this long-term medical kind of burnout, adrenal fatigue, does happen over a long period of time. And it's quite uncommon for someone as young as myself to have that. And that's why it really shook me up. Yeah. It generally will happen a bit later on in life after kind of a cumulative high stress.
Yeah, there was a really interesting study that was found from the charity hospital. They found that if people needed counselling immediately after the earthquakes, they needed between 2 and 3 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But if they needed counselling 5 years after the earthquakes, they needed 22 to 23 sessions. And that's that long-term stress that's so damaging.
Yes.
Because all the research says most people, not everyone, but most people coped remarkably well with the earthquakes throughout New Zealand in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what's caused the damage is, you know, battling EQC, road diversions, and just this chronic ongoing stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something that, you know, say councils don't understand. You know, they've said another 10 years of roadworks. And just when people hear this, it's just this chronic ongoing stress. So I think, unfortunately, burnout is becoming a lot more common in New Zealand because of some of the things that we've experienced.
Absolutely. And also just how modern society is, you know, we've got all these notifications coming all the time. So, you know, our phones are always dinging and that makes us, you know, anticipate that. And we just kind of jump on those notifications. We've got information overload. There's always news, bad information. You know, it's hyper... It's talked about a lot, all these negative things, and that unfortunately makes us feel like we're in danger, whether that's conscious or unconscious. So our body's stress response was made for short bursts when we're in danger, you know. So if there was a lion, you had to quickly run away, but there are prolonged stress now. So we're always, you know, some people especially who put a lot of pressure on themselves, they're stressed about everything, and that's definitely how I was. And yeah, that really is going to change, do negative things to your body, that long-term stress, and then you eventually will burn out for sure.
Yeah. There was another really interesting study done in 1995. A group of researchers took two groups. The first group had low stress in their lives, and the second group had an Alzheimer's patient or Alzheimer's family member living in their home. There was chronic and ongoing stress there. And they put what was called a punch biopsy, or a little cut on everyone's arm, and they made sure the cut was exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they measured how long it took for the people to get better.
Mm.
And they found that in the high stress condition, or the people looking after someone with Alzheimer's and their families, it could take twice as long to heal from a physical injury as the low stress group.
It really, and that will surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
Myself, not so much because I know now from all the research I've done, but it's just ridiculous and just... disease as well. It's just, it's not great for our bodies or our mental health.
Yeah. So when that study came out, it was a huge revelation to a lot of people that stress, which, because if you think about it, it's not like you're taking a toxic substance into your body or something like that that we often think causes cancer. You know, stress is actually something internal. And a lot of people would be very surprised to find out how damaging it is.
Definitely.
And do you have any tips or anything that you could suggest for people to help manage stress better?
Absolutely. So I guess the big thing for me in working with a few people around this is the road in is the road out. So everyone is, like, there's so many different causes of stress, and for some people one situation might be stressful to them and another not, and then the opposite for someone else. So we're all really different in that sense. So I think to take a step back to define stress, it's really about how we react to situations that put us under pressure. So there's a lot of things for some people. Public speaking might terrify them, and for someone else it might really excite them. So stress really is person to person very different. So I guess that's where you've got to kind of first and foremost have awareness about what causes stress for you, because as I said, the road in is the road out. So for me, perfectionism, people pleasing, high expectations, all of those things, I had to first be aware that they were happening and then make conscious effort to minimize those. Which takes mindset shifts. So mindset is a huge, I guess, area that I did a lot of work in. For example, how we perceive situations. So it's actually the situation plus our perception of the situation, which is the effect of stress. So if we don't perceive something to be of high pressure, then we won't have a stress response to it. So, for example, if something happens, we can easily get fired up and react to it. But if we stop and breathe, so breathing's one of the tips, but if we also stop and have a look at what is actually causing me to be stressed about this, you might ask yourself, am I going to care about this in 2 days' time? If no, why waste your time stressing about it? It's not good for you. So there's things like that about perception, loosening your grip on things, you know. That's another one. Being present, being in the moment. It's a huge tip.
Absolutely. And if, as you mentioned, it's so easy to get stressed about things in the moment. But if you think about, you know, the things that caused you a huge amount of stress a year ago or 2 years ago, most of those things aren't actually a problem now.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. There's also, so that's kind of around the awareness and mindset kind of things, how you look at things and being in the present. There's also some actions and positive habits that you can do, such as active relaxation. So breathing, making some time just to be and to breathe and not do anything. Even 5 minutes a day, you might try a meditation, a guided meditation. You might just simply sit out in nature, reading a book, something like that. Positive affirmations have been a huge one, which also kind of relates to that road in, road out. So if you're being really hard on yourself and always saying negative things to yourself, take notice of what those things are and then flip them into a positive statement and repeat that positive affirmation to yourself. For instance, if you don't have confidence in speaking, which one of the clients I work with, you know, she has a little bit of, she's a bit nervous around speaking to people or saying the wrong thing. She's got an affirmation that will be, I speak clearly and express myself clearly, and that's something that she'll repeat in her mind every day, especially if she's going into a situation where she has to be in a meeting or something like that. And that really helps as well, just general self-care, finding out what things you enjoy doing and making sure that you include those in your day, carving out time to do those things. Time management is a huge one. Yeah. If you've got a to-do list, my biggest tip around time management is not to have a to-do list, to actually put that in a calendar, scheduling. Scheduling is such a big thing for me, because if you look at a to-do list, that in itself can cause overwhelm. Like, oh my goodness, it's never ending. But if you, you know, I'm going to deal with that on Saturday at this time, then you've got a little bit of a plan, and that can put your mind at ease a little bit. Would you, do you do the same?
A little bit. One of my big tips with time management is, so in school we're given maths problems, and Sam has 40 hours in a week, and he can put down 100 bricks per hour. How many bricks can he do in a whole week? And the answer would be 4,000. However, in the school of life, that doesn't actually work out, because things always take longer than they need to. And one of my big tips was not getting overwhelmed. So if I think something's going to take an hour, I'll try and allow 2 hours for it.
Definitely.
Just things like getting between meetings. You know, I used to book hour-long meetings back-to-back. Then there'd be no travel time between them. So now, you know, either allowing half an hour, an hour. So if one meeting runs late, you know, I'm not rushed for the next one. And then just little things like that. So trying to, I guess, plan things in a way so that you're not going to be pushed for time, that you've got plenty of time. If something goes over, or, you know, there's road cones or diversions or things like that. As we know in New Zealand at the moment, I don't know whoever owns the road cone business, but I'm sure they're doing really well at the moment.
Definitely.
But just all these sorts of things, just planning for delays and things like that.
I do actually have a resource on my website called 3 Simple Strategies to Stress Less Without Doing More. So if anyone's interested, that can be downloaded at savannahornsby.com.
Do you want to just spell that out for us, just because we could put an H in your name?
So it's savannahornsby.com. And yeah, so you can just get that free PDF there.
Okay, and that's the way to contact you also if people want to talk more to you about some of the things you've talked about on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a contact page on my website, which you can contact me directly if you have any questions as well.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. This is such an important topic, so we really appreciate you talking to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Michael.
Take care.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my love.